Esther chapter 4, verse 15 into chapter 5. The words will be on the screen if you would like to follow along. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace, in front of the king's hall. When the king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance, when he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it?" "Queen Esther, what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you." "If it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." "Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. And as they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, "Now what is your petition? It will be given you, and what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom it will be granted." Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." Let's pray before we hear the word of God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it. We thank you for David and the way that you have been speaking to him as he's prepared this talk. Lord, we ask that you would give us open ears and open hearts to hear what it is you want to say to us this morning. Would we be attentive to the challenges that you're giving us, to the encouragements? Lord, we ask you to give David great confidence as he speaks to us this morning. Amen.
Thanks, Olivia, and welcome everyone, those here and those watching online. I want to talk today about a step that I long that all of us would take, myself included today, that we, I believe, need to take. What is that step? What is that step that could help each and every one of us? Well, it's a step we see Esther taking. It's a step of faith that transformed Esther's life and destiny. It completely transformed, through Esther taking that step, the destiny and the kind of future of the entire kind of people of God around her. And, you know, when you and I take steps of faith, it can transform our life, whatever you're going through. And it can transform the lives of those around us. You know, we are all on a kind of journey of faith. Wherever you are today, whatever you've come here believing, we all believe something, about what life is all about what there is or isn't beyond us. And today we're going to be thinking about how do we take steps of faith in our life? What does that look like? And how does our life kind of come alive with God when we do that? You know, how did Esther do that? And how can you and I do that today? Well, first we see that Esther, who was the queen, and at this point was going to do something very, very risky that could have kind of lost her, not just her position as queen in the royal palace, but could have even lost her life. We see that she has to risk the palace, as it were, to take this step. There's things that she has to be willing to leave behind. And I want to say this right from the off, that faith has to step off things. I'm going to step down here, and I'm going to just do something, and Olivia's just going to help me grab some things here. I want to just illustrate this like this. So, faith steps off. Now, I've been kind of reading, a little bit about how kids learn to walk, and about, you know, how you do kind of things like abseiling and stuff like this. And I actually kind of gone to the definitions of taking a step. And if you take a step, if you try to take a step without losing and shifting your weight from this back foot, you've not yet taken a step. To take a step, you literally have to transfer. This was what the dictionary said. You have to transfer weight from one foot to the other to move to another position. That's a step. Do you agree? Yeah. A step is taking a step from one place to another and transferring your weight, your security, as it were, from this place. And I knew what this place was like. You know, we have a sense of kind of knowing, but when we step, we move to another place and say, no, this is where I'm now going to stand. And, you know, for Esther, I'm just going to come back up here, and I'll come back to those in a moment. But for Esther, when she was thinking about this kind of step into the presence of the king to ask this kind of bold question, she was very aware from what we were looking at last week in chapter 4, verse 11. She kind of said to Mordecai, who's like her cousin, who's older than her and kind of helps look after her, she said, look, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. And the only exception to this is for the king to extend the royal scepter to him and spare his life. And so, you know, Esther is saying, look, at our beginning of our reading, she's saying, look, you guys go, and so, you know, you go and pray for me, fast together, but I'm going to do this. I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Esther is willing to risk it all. She is willing to step out in faith, to leave the security of the place that you and I would have thought, well, that looks pretty secure. But actually, Mordecai had tried to do something here. Mordecai tried to help her that what she thought was secure in the palace wasn't actually that secure. The last week, we were thinking about how he was trying to help her see that actually her life was in danger even there. And you know, I think so often we're like standing on that brown coffee table and we think we're more secure than we are. You know, the world tries to tell us, doesn't it? You know, find your security in money. If you've got money, you've got some savings, you've got a house, oh, you're secure. But actually, it's not always the case. You've got your job, you've got your health, good looks, maybe. Some of us not so much. But actually none of those things are as secure as we are often led to believe. And when we take a step of faith, we're, as it were, saying, look, I'm willing to lose the security of the thing I was putting my trust and my confidence in to step into something else. And we kind of know the story of Esther. Karen Jobe says this. She says, you know, we have the benefit of knowing the end of the story, but at the time Esther made that decision, she did not know how her story ended. I've really found reading Karen Jobe's commentary is helpful because she kind of takes us into the story. And for Esther, this is such a pivotal moment. She really does not know what's going to happen when she goes to the king. She recognizes that she may well perish, and she says, if I perish, I perish. And that is why last week we were thinking about how having faith requires us to be brave. It takes courage to take steps of faith because it often involves us leaving behind some place of security. You know, faith in the Bible always expresses itself in love. In love for God and love for others. And love in the Bible is all about giving. And so as we take steps of faith, there's an expression of love that actually causes us to have to kind of lose something, maybe time or our money or our influence in some way or seemingly. And God is inviting us as we step towards him to put our faith in him. Now, for some of our younger generation, you might be familiar with this kind of TikTok trend, which I've only recently discovered, but I just think is quite fun, really. Delulu is a Salulu. Delulu is a TikTok trend that suggests that being delusional about your hopes and dreams can be the solution to life's dissatisfaction. The phrase implies this, listen to this, that self-confidence and positive thinking a key to achieving your goals? And I was thinking about this, and it's quite fun, really, some of this, you know. There's often a good bit of like, I can do this, that sometimes is fun and helpful. But I want to say, I think sometimes we end up doing this as a nation without the kind of fun little strapline. We actually know that economies can go completely pear-shaped. That what you've got in the bank may not be enough to see you through the rest of life. That your health, good as it might be, might not be good forever. In fact, we know that. We kind of know that jobs come and jobs go. We know that the place we stand, as it were, and the things we put our security in aren't actually as secure as we think. And yet we somehow try and convince ourselves or pretend or something that actually that is a secure place. And really, like Esther, we have to realize that the place we're standing is not as secure as we think. We have to kind of acknowledge that. In fact, the Bible says that there is a big reality that we all must face, and that is the reality that God is God, and He is perfect, and you and I aren't. We kind of know that. You know, when Matthew and Laura took that kind of step to kind of step out of the crowd, as it were, acknowledge and say they want to get baptized, the first thing they said in those questions was, I admit I have sinned, and I'm in need of God's forgiveness. And the thing is, we all have sinned and are all in need of God's forgiveness. And whenever I talk to people as they're preparing for baptism, no one kind of says, oh, I'm not so sure if I've done that. I don't think I do. Everyone knows. We all know. Every one of us here has made mistakes which we regret. Every one of us. And God knows it too. And the thing is, we try then to build our lives trying to find a security when God is inviting us to step away from that insecure place and step onto something which enables us to know a peace with Him and to learn to kind of, as it were, walk with Him through life in a secure way, even though He is holy and we are not. And in Esther, we see her kind of not just stepping off something, we see her stepping with something. And I want to say that faith steps with. So I love this bit as we continue in the story of Esther. Not did just she have to kind of leave something, but she had to kind of adopt a posture of dependence on God and get a certain level of support from others. So in chapter 4, verse 16, we read this. She says to kind of Mordecai, her cousin, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king. And you know, fasting in the Bible is linked with prayer. Fasting is kind of saying, God, I need you more than I need this meal. I'm hungry for your help more than I'm hungry for the help of this meal. And so I was kind of thinking what it's like. It's a bit like learning when we're standing on the table to lean on God and discover that he's someone we can lean on. And you know, when we grow in that, we grow in confidence that actually He is something that we can trust in. His presence will go through us in all the different faith steps of life, and that is a more secure place than whatever it is that we're putting our trust in. And I encourage you, pray and fast. And I love the way it wasn't just that Esther had this kind of posture of dependence on God that we all need, but it was that she needed to remember she wasn't doing this alone. I love baptisms. I remember so many here in the church. I love the way that not just do people take that step of faith, but that we cheer them on and stand with them. And many of you have been baptized here in this very place. I'm sitting right next to Dave Gunnellan. I remember he and Andy being baptized at the same time and kind of encouraging each other in the Lord as we go through that. Because faith, you see, steps forward with God's help, but also with the help of others who are on that journey of faith. You know, so I love, Laura, the way you looked at people getting baptized a few weeks or months back, and you were like, oh, wow, I'd love to do that. And they inspired you, and faith has this way of kind of realizing we're not the only ones taking a faith step. Others are too, and we can press into that with them. We can explore what does it mean to live a life of faith. And so whether that's coming to faith or whether that's getting baptized, And baptism is like an outward expression of what's happening in our life. But it's only one of the beginning steps in faith. Actually, faith continues on with a life of faith. You know, I was thinking about a verse that's really a precious verse to me. This is what it says in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We learn that actually we can live this life of faith, just like the Apostle Paul who wrote that, a life that is a life of faith. Are you living a life of faith? You know, I was thinking about how I want people to look at my life and ask, why are you doing that? And have to be able to say that the only explanation is because of my faith in God. Why are you doing that? Why are you forgiving that person? They don't deserve it. Well, it's my faith in God. You know, why are you giving like that at the gift day or serving in that way of your time? Well, it's my faith in God. And I am wanting to do that because I've seen many of you here take amazing steps of faith, serve and give and love and forgive. And I know when I'm doing it, I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with you. So, faith steps out, faith steps with, but I also want to say this, faith steps into. You know, Esther, she kind of says, if I perish, I perish, but then she kind of steps in to God's purposes for her life. This is an amazing moment as Esther comes in and makes a request of the king. And even she doesn't bring her big request right off the first half. She invites them to a banquet. And then we're going to see next week about all some of these amazing events that happen around it. And we're going to see more in the coming weeks about all that is going to happen at even the banquet after that. But as she steps into this place of saying, God, I'm going to, as it were, leave my secure position. And I'm going to join you in what you're doing. It's like Esther's story comes alive. And brothers and sisters, as we're willing to step off and know that we're stepping with God's help and with the help of others into God's purposes for our lives, it's amazing what suddenly can happen. And just to give you a sense of how amazing, I want to zero in on just a few little words at the beginning of Esther 5. It says this, on the third day. Now, if you had being one of those people who was originally reading Esther, you'd have known that the third day is kind of this kind of picture of, wow, something's about to happen. You know, in the third day, in the story of Jonah, Jonah was kind of like, it seemed he was dead. He was kind of in the, Jonah was swallowed by a fish as he kind of faced a storm and he went down into the depth of the ocean, but the whale kind of swallowed him up. And then it says in Jonah, I think we got it up on the screen, that on the third day, and now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and then he kind of came out into his purpose on the third day. And God used him like more than he could imagine, even though he was a bit of a bit of a failure really before that. And in Hosea, we read this, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. And that is the kind of context that people were thinking of here. And you know, it reminds us of maybe the biggest turnaround of all. The turnaround that happened when Jesus died on the cross. Like Esther saying, you know, if I perish, I perish. And he didn't just step into place and then amazingly not perish, but actually Jesus went to the cross and died in our place. He perished so that you and I wouldn't have to. I love the way that I've got a couple of quotes here. Karen Jobes writes this. She says, the deliverance of God's people from death and destruction initiated on the third day after Esther's decision. And then Jenny Brown says this. She says, Esther is a type of Christ, willing to lay down her life to save others. So Jesus comes in this kind of way of Esther, and he lays down his life so that you and I can step into the life that he has for us. But on the third day, Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again. Easter, celebrated by billions across the world. Jesus rose again, conquering death, enabling us to know that the sacrifice he'd made for the mess of our lives has been sufficient so that we could live with peace with God. I was chatting to someone on the street just a couple of weeks ago, and I explained it to him like this. We were talking about spiritual things. I said, I'm from the church, and he was interested and wanted to know more. And I said, well, I turned to this little illustration that I've used, just a few pictures. And I said, well, the thing is, God made us for relationship with him. You are made for God. He loves you more than you can imagine. But actually what's happening in all of our lives is that our lives get separated from God. And it's never God who moves. It's always us. We're the ones who allow other things to take precedence over God. And yet, God comes to help us. And this is the big story of the Bible, that God comes in the person of Jesus to, as it were, bridge the gap between us and God. That he died on the cross to pay for my failure and your failure, to take our death so that we could have his life forever and ever. And he then invites us to draw and come to him to, as it were, step from the false securities that we think we have into a place of wonderful security in him. I find that when I talk to people, I say, I meet some people, and they're like, they don't want anything to do with it. They're like on that right-hand side of the screen, and they're moving that way. Just almost like, don't want to know anything about it. I meet other people, and they're like here. They're like, that is really interesting. I am seeing something about what God is like and what I'm like that resonates. And then I meet other people, and they're here. They know that they are with God. They have a peace. They've kind of taken steps of faith, maybe many of them, and they know that God proves himself faithful. They've known that Jesus has made a way for us to get to God. In fact, the Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that whoever, that he gave his one and only son, he died on the cross, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Same kind of word that Esther thought. If I perish, I perish. But Jesus perished so that you and I could have eternal life. A life that goes on forever and ever, but starts even now because we know we're with God and we're secure in him. And that is the invitation for us all today. Will you take a step of faith and leave whatever other places that you think there is security in and come and find in Jesus and what he's done the security, the life, the forgiveness that is really life? Will you come and say yes to him? That is my longing for us this morning. That is my longing for me, that I would keep taking steps of that. But if you're here and maybe this is new to you, my longing is you would take that step for the first time, that you would say, yes, Jesus, I want to put my trust in you. You know, as we come in this moment, this is really what I've been longing, is this moment right now where I could say there is no one better to put your trust in, no way that your life could come alive more than, as it were, stepping into Jesus and what he has for you. When I go back to that slide with the three little men, Linnea, when I meet people, sometimes I find that the one in the middle, just to the kind of right of the cross, the people who are kind of looking at it and thinking, well, I sometimes say to them, well, where are you? And they say, well, I'm there. I'm just to the kind of left of the cross. And I say, where do you want to be? And they say, well, I want to be with God. I want to be over the other side. And they kind of say, well, I say, well, I would love to help you take that step of faith. That step to say, God, I want to come to you. And this is what I say to them. The cross is a gift. Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you. And when we recognize that we have kind of wandered from God, we come to him, we say, sorry, God, I receive your gift of forgiveness and life. Please help me live for you. And so that's what I want to do. I want to lead you in a step of faith this morning, if you would like to do that. I'm going to invite the band to come up and lead us. I'm just going to invite God's Spirit, who I know loves more than anything, for people to take steps of faith. And I'm actually going to invite first people to respond who you maybe think, I don't know that I'm there. I don't know that I'm in that place with God. I feel like I need to take a step today, maybe for the first time, to believe in him. And if that's you, just as the music plays, and I just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, minister deeply. Whatever we've got going on in our life, we would today, each of us, want to take the next step of faith. And Lord, I want to start just with those for whom the next step might be the first step, as it were, of saying, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. And if that's you, and today you want to step towards God in faith and put your trust in him, then with every head bowed, I'm going to invite you to pray, and I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer that just says, sorry, God, I thank you. Please help me trust in you. And so just now, would you just stand with me? There was something of Esther to do. She had to kind of leave her seat and see a few people standing. If you want to say, yeah, I want to put my trust in you, I'm sorry if we've put it in something different. We'll come to some other responses in a moment, but maybe you just want to echo this prayer. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for where I've ignored you and lived my life my own way. Please forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I put my trust in you, Jesus. I want to live for you. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me follow you all my days. Amen. Amen. And maybe you just want to take your seat again. And as I said, there's a number of steps that people sometimes, you know, take in faith. That first step is the key step. The way into the Christian life is the way on to keep doing it. But what Matthew and Laura are doing here today is they're saying, yeah, I believe, and I want to kind of step out of my seat and go public. I want to go to get baptized so everyone knows. Baptism is a sign that they've died with Jesus and been raised to a new life with him. And I just a bit like what Laura said, she saw someone and they thought, you know what, I want to get baptized. I would love if you were someone at the future at some point, you would love to get baptized. You've not been baptized as an adult, as a believer, or as a young person, but something you would love to do. I would love to pray for you. So just again, with every head bowed, Holy Spirit, if you want others here to take that step of baptism, Lord, would you stir faith? And if that's you, I just invite you to stand where you are right now. If you would like to be baptized at some point in the future, and I'd love to give you a book at the end and help you on that journey of faith. So, if that's you, just want to stand, and I'd love to pray for you. Lord, I see these folks who are standing, and I just honor their courage. Thrilled to see what you're doing in their life, and I pray that you would help them as they take those steps towards baptism, Lord. I pray you would bless them and help them on that journey. And Lord, that they would be encouraged and inspired as they see Matthew and Laura take this step in a moment. So please be with them. Thank you for them. Come, Holy Spirit, fill them even now. And as they just take their seats again in a moment and want to pray for any here, and this was the word I had. You may have taken steps like baptism in the past, but what is the step today? What is the faith step today? Maybe you know as soon as I say it what God is prompting you to do. Maybe it's to move towards someone or step away from some kind of security into the security of his love. But maybe you want to just say, God, I'm not sure what it is, but whatever it is, I'm up for it, Jesus. I might have known you for 20, 30, 50 years, but today I'm up for whatever step of faith you want me to take. And if that's you right now, again, Holy Spirit, just come. And Lord, I pray there'd be many here, Lord, who want to be willing to say, whatever it is, Lord, I want to step with faith into what you have for us. And so would you just today, if that's you, just stand right now. Lord, please give courage and faith to each one, whether they know what that step is or they're seeking you for that step. God, we want to live lives of faith. Start in us. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Help us live lives of faith with you. In your wonderful name.